It's 88.5 GPB Atlanta. I'm Leah Fleming. It's a flag that you may not have paid much attention to, but it's a flag that has appeared at the center of some of the most painful moments in American history. In 2014, after Michael Brown, an unarmed black teenager in Ferguson, was shot and killed by a white police officer, protesters waved the Pan-African flag. Akinyele Omoja, who chairs the Department of African American Studies at Georgia State University, joins me today as we continue our series on the power of a flag in the American experience. The Pan-African flag was born out of the racism of the 1920s. And what won't Yankees do for the old red, white, and blue? Every race has a flag but the coon. That's a minstrel show song from 1900 called Every Race Has a Flag But the Coon. Eventually, a man by the name Marcus Garvey had an answer to that. Garvey was a Jamaican-born political leader who became president general of the Universal Negro Improvement Association and African Communities League. Akinyele picks it up from there.
And it was in 1920, Marcus Garvey made the statement, where is the black man's nation? Where is his army? Where is his navy? Where is men of big affairs? Mm-hmm. And I want to remind your audience, during that particular time, most of Africa was colonized, was controlled by European nations, by white nations. Mm-hmm. And of course, black people in the United States were segregated. Mm-hmm. We were Jim Crowed. Lynchings were common in American history during that particular time. So Marcus Garvey, I think he sold black people on this image that Africa could be this mighty power that could protect its interests and black people could unite. And so as a flag for that endeavor, he created the red, black, and green flag. Red, you know, for the blood of our people, blood of our ancestors, and for the struggle that we have to engage in to win independence. Black representing the people, the race, and green representing the land we need, because he felt that land was essential. Because, you know, particularly the land of Africa at that time had, and still today, is very mentally rich. And so he saw that as a possibility in terms of economic development.
So what did that flag do, the Pan-African flag? Did it give black folks a sense of self?
A sense of identity. And it still does. As you mentioned, it's still being used in rallies and demonstrations, used, but not only in places of protest, but also many churches. You'll find the red, black, and green flag in churches. It's used during the Kwanzaa ceremonies. It's used in African American History Month. And then even in the hip hop movement, the group Dead Prez started with what they call the RBG movement, the Red, Black, and Green movement. American, blacker than black, I take it back to my origin. Same skin, hated by the Klansmen. Big nose and lips, big hips and butts dancing. War, I'm an African, I'm an African. And I know what's happening. I'm an African. And so even within hip hop, you have artists who celebrate black identity, solidarity of people of African descent. And so it remains a viable part of our culture and our politics today.
When you look at the American flag, mm-hmm. and the Pan-African flag, they're both pieces of cloth, but there mm-hmm. is such emotion tied up in mm-hmm. it. Where does that come from?
It's symbolism. W.B. Du Bois talked about double consciousness amongst people of African descent in this country. He talked about this at the beginning of the last century in his books, Souls of Black Folks. And he said that the Negro at that particular time was prideful of being American, but at the same time, the America, and in this case represented by the American flag, didn't embrace the Negro. And I kind of look at it as one level, the red, black, and green flag, and the other level, the red, white, and blue flag, that he said they were two warring souls in one body. And many of our people, black people, mm-hmm. or people of African descent in this country, I think are heterogeneous in terms of our politics and our identities. But on the other hand, this situation of double consciousness does exist.
You have the Pan-African flag in your home, your office.
In my office, yes. My grandchildren embrace it. There's a song they sing about the red, black, and green flag.
Do you have the American flag?
Oh, no, we don't have the American flag in my house.
Oh, now, okay. Tell me about that. What's behind that in your
my
life?
My particular family, we embrace the red, black, and green flag because we had a hope, again, as I mentioned, for self-determination. Mm-hmm. at this particular time, and America hasn't embraced us in that particular shape, form, or fashion. I do vote. I participate in elections. I exercise all the rights I have as a citizen. But at the same time, I recognize that Black life still doesn't mean much in this society. And we still have things like voter suppression going on. So until that offer is made on a realistic basis, I don't feel comfortable embracing the red, white, and blue flag like I do the red, black, and green flag.
Akinyele Omoja chairs the African American Studies Department at GSU. Now let's hear a little music. These are the students of the Quilombo Academic and Cultural Institute in Decatur who sang us a song about the Pan-African flag. Raise the red, the black, and the green. Check out our entire series on the power of a flag at gpbnews.org. This is 88.5.